is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let the games begin on this Thursday morning edition of the Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM. We'll preview the Hall of Fame game that kicks off later on tonight. Lots of NFL as usual. Plus, it is also college football week here at VSiN. Our college football betting guide out today, available at VSiN.com when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. We'll take a look on the show today at a few different things that you can find as well in this year's guide. How much is home field advantage worth? Teams worth a look for their respective conference titles. I'm Stormy Bonantoni alongside Jonathan Von Tobel today in for Michael. We'll also get some best bets from VSiN's own betting analyst Will Hill a little bit later on this hour, and professional handicapper Mike Somich on the show today as well. But JVT, as of today, we will have either NFL or college football games on our television screens every single week from now to February. Good feeling.
Is it?
Is it not?
I mean, I feel like, come on. Like, we still got good baseball races going on. Like,
see, we have different mindsets. See, I'm not a baseball girl.
The FIBA World Cup is starting at the end of the month. No, nothing.
Not for me.
Come on. No, I'm with you.
I live in a football world, baby.
There is an excitement to it. I have an odd... I'm a little bit more excited for college football for some reason than I am for the National Football League, but it will be cool to get it back. And man, time's just a blur, dude. It just keeps going. The season just ended and here we are, our first NFL game of the season. So I'm excited to watch terrible football. It's going to be fantastic to watch. What do you think? Like a 13-10 game tonight, but it'll be great. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. That's something we definitely know about the Hall of Fame game. It's lower paced. It's backups. We're going to see a low win here. I mean, the win total in this game, 33.5. We did see a flip of favorites though. So it's the Jets and Browns going head to head tonight in Canton, Ohio. Kickoff 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on NBC. But the Jets were, I want to say, as high as 2.5-point dogs, maybe even got to 3 some places, but now a 1.5-point favorite today, total 33.5.
Yeah, look, so we will say this, and I think a lot of people know this by now, but it's worth reiterating for anybody who maybe is just dropping in. You're not breaking down Hall of Fame game and, you know, preseason football games as you normally do, right? You're not going in and trying to break down statistics and whatever it is. All of this is based on information. You want snap counts for guys. You want which quarterbacks are going to play. And I will say, like, there is a certain facet of breaking down the rosters as a whole. You know, Matt Humans and I have talked about this before when we first started at the network. One of the things you always look for is mobile quarterbacks on the back end of a depth chart, right? Because offensive line play gets really bad the further down you get into a depth chart. Yeah. Thus, you want mobile quarterbacks to be able to add to that, those sort of things. You know, you want to factor those in. But for the most part, it's all about whether or not you're getting information on what the workload is going to be for the more important guys. And it does seem that the market is at least swinging toward the direction of the Jets because of what we know about Cleveland and what we know about what the Jets are going to try to do here.
Yeah, this isn't exactly like how good the Jets and Browns are going to be this season. First time on display today. That's not what it is. You know, it's based on who's in a quarterback, how long will these starters ultimately play, how strong is a team's depth and at which positions, and does your head coach care about winning? Because I think that's a big important factor when it comes to the preseason as well. Both coaches, as it pertains to this year's Hall of Fame game, pretty forthright when it comes to their approach today and their plans, especially at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be out there for the Packers today. Zach Wilson will start. Rodgers, by the way, hasn't played in a preseason game since 2018. I did find it interesting that he said he wouldn't mind some action, perhaps in the final preseason game. And then on the Brown side of things, not only is Kevin Stefanski not playing Deshaun Watson, but no backup Joshua Dobbs either. Said Kellen Mond will get the start in the first half, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the first-round rookie out of UCLA, will play in the second half.
Yeah, there's a lot of Vegas ties, actually, to the Browns, right? Because also Cedric Tillman is expected to get some pretty good run out here in this game, too. So you're going to see quite a few Vegas guys in this matchup for Cleveland. But overall, I mean, look, I understand flipping it over to the New York Jets. I always do wonder, right, because the flip did kind of seem to go in line with, hey, like Aaron Rodgers ain't going to play. But at the same time, even if Aaron Rodgers were going to start, what were you expecting? You know what I mean? Like, he's probably going to come out,
hand it off three times,
and then like get back in or get back to the sideline. Is that worth a swing the way that this has swung? Maybe it is. I don't know. But I think overall, I have no bets here because I wasn't ahead of the line move. And look, line moves are not built the same in the NFL preseason as they are in the regular season. So, you know, if you missed out on like a point or two, depending on where it's at, then of course you don't want to feel too bad about it. But I think overall, I just don't want to blindly bet unless it's just like, hey, I want to sit down and watch something, because that's generally maybe somebody wants to just root something home. For me, I haven't bet anything because I just didn't get in on the line move here. Yeah. I know the under is always a popular play for the preseason game, or excuse me, the Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something to look at. I think I saw the total open up, what, 33.5, and we're still floating around that range. So not a real strong move yet.
It ticked down to 31.5, but it's kind of floated its way back up now at this point. But since 2000, the under 12-7 in 19 total Hall of Fame games. And since 2010, the under 7-2 going under the listed total by around 6.2 points per game.
Wow.
So
9-game sample size is strong.
So yeah.
I'm being sarcastic.
It's enough. It's enough.
9 games is pretty small.
It's enough, I'd say. I don't know. It's a decade.
I mean, if you put it that way,
right?
We have a decade worth of data.
Decade worth of information.
That tells us this is an underplay.
No, I didn't do a play on the total, and you're right. You are getting the worst of the number if you like the Jets in this spot now. But yesterday I did do a Jets money line with it being -1.5 at the time that I bet it. Just felt more comfortable with it being a win. And that thought process largely coming on, it appears at least in the time we've seen Robert Saleh be the head coach, that he has cared about winning in the preseason. 5-0-1 straight up, 5-1 against the number in those preseason games so far over the last 2 years. And from a quarterback standpoint, and knowing that Mekhi Becton is going to be in getting 20-25 reps on the offensive line up front, you would hope that that'll be a little bit of a benefit, especially for him, but for the quarterback as well. Wilson, I know his regular season numbers aren't great, but he's been a good preseason quarterback. Tim Boyle also going to get some play. Again, bad regular season quarterback, but 9-3 touchdown interception ratio over 10 preseason games. I know you love that number, dating back to 2019. And then Chris Streveler, preseason god last year. Hello. 73% completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. 8.4 yards per attempt in 3 games, rushed for 71 yards on 9 attempts, and even led the Jets in rushing week 2. So give me New York tonight. I'm
okay.
Just saying.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. Nothing does.
I did too much research on this game. I'm actually disappointed, like mad at myself. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, it's not that bad. And I will say nothing does a quarterback more justice than preseason, because Zach Wilson, as you mentioned, probably worth about a 6-point downgrade between him and Aaron Rodgers, right around there. Preseason, probably thrown out there as one of the better quarterbacks you're going to see out there in preseason.
The Jets, generally speaking, I know have been so hyped up when it comes into this year because of, in terms of starters, all of the incredible weapons that they do have. But the one big question mark being that offensive line, how important do you think it is for Mekhi Becton to get some of those reps under his feet?
Oh, I think it's massively important. By the way, Zach Wilson last year, a 39 PFF passing grade and 6 dropbacks in the preseason. I'm just going to throw that out there. No, I think it's massively important. Obviously, look, I think when we talk about positional value, and we always focus on quarterbacks, outside of that, wide receivers are becoming more important, but we know how important offensive lines are, and we have seen bad offensive line play tear apart very good teams. So obviously getting continuity at that position is going to be pretty important, and especially a high-level player at that. So I would say it's massively important, especially if you want to get some continuity heading into the season. And in a preseason in which offensive line play is going to be very bad, if you have a stronger offensive line, or at least stronger guys getting more time, it will help you out in the long run.
And what you said about Zach Wilson, do you think that this little bit of time that he's spent with Aaron Rodgers and having pressure lifted off of him a little bit, like, will be a positive for him this season? How do you view that situation?
I mean, I don't
think Aaron Rodgers was like his idol, so I feel like he's probably soaking in every bit that he can from him.
I'll put it this way. It can't hurt, right? I think that's the very basic. Like, the worst, it cannot make anything worse when it comes to Zach Wilson. So the only thing it could do and help, and if it doesn't help, well, then everything's just going to remain the same. So I always wonder what that dynamic's like, you know, when you talk to former quarterbacks. Maybe it's a good question for Sean, but, you know, when we talk about veterans coming in and having to play in front of a young guy like a Zach Wilson, do we just say that? What exactly is the relationship? What exactly is Aaron Rodgers doing? Are they sitting down and he's showing him, hey, look, you know, when you're making this read, you want to put it here as opposed to there? And when it comes to natural physical shortcomings, you know what I mean? Accuracy, all of those sort of stuff. Like, you can only do so much as a veteran quarterback showing him. What is it? You know, lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink kind of deal. So, like, I always wonder how much that really does help. Because, you know, like, if I were to tootle under Tom Brady, how much better am I really going to get as a quarterback? Like, okay, maybe mentally I might, but in terms of the physical side of it, I'm probably still going to struggle.
Yeah, I don't think that Tom will be tootling you anytime soon,
right?
But good information for sure.
Did I use that verb right? Tootle under him?
When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, though, at least the one benefit I think there would be for Zach Wilson is that it's not like a case like it was in Green Bay, where you have the guy that's drafted behind you as your replacement in the future where, like, Zach Wilson was the starter and Aaron Rodgers is coming in to fix things. So I feel like there's a willingness to learn on his part and a willingness to teach, knowing that, like, Rodgers is going to be here for a short amount of time and Zach wants to get better.
He does. I would also say, I mean, I think, again, this is just reading between the lines because you're not there. There did seem to be an, for lack of a better term, off-field aspect of the struggles for Zach Wilson. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Coming out of a game in which, when they lose the Patriots 10-9 and saying that you felt like your offense was fine. You know what I mean? Having your teammates wear, who was the quarterback who took over from last year? Who was
Mike
supposed
White.
To be, yeah, there we go. Sorry, I forgot. Even though he's supposed to be a franchise cornerstone going forward, according to everybody else.
Hey, he might be the starter for the Dolphins if Tua has problems. So
well,
there you go.
Yeah, but he's not a free. Never mind. I'm going to get angry about it again. But when they're wearing T-shirts about, you know, for him, sure. And all that kind of stuff.
That,
like,
400-yard game really set things off,
sure,
for Mike White.
And there seemed to kind of be this disconnect between the team and him. And so I think, like, that's something, too. Is Aaron Rodgers the best guy to learn locker room dynamics from?
Fair, but he does seem like a totally different person, and he's brought, sure, over a number of the players that do love and respect him and have admiration for him, his little crew. So I think it might be a different mentality in New York.
You think they all hang out in, like, the same area of the locker room? Like, there's just, like, the corner,
I'm
where,
sure,
it's like Aaron Rodgers, Lazard, Randall Cobb.
Even though that one clip from the Hard Knock series that's come out so far is, like, make sure you sit with different people at the lunch tables and get to know everybody. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I can picture Aaron Rodgers going, no, the seat's taken.
Could be also the first time we see some Jim Schwartz fingerprints on that Browns defense.
Yep.
We'll also see the new kickoff rules today. NFL owners agreeing to pass that one-year rule that places any fair catch off a free kick that occurs behind the receiving team's 25-yard line at the 25. Also, no clock stoppage on first down until 2 minutes. So a couple of new tweaks. And if you get bored with the Hall of Fame game, flip over to ESPN2. Slam Ball will be on,
right,
at the same time. So there you go. You're welcome, world.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. You can download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And while myself and most of America is gearing up for this upcoming NFL and college football season, JVT's got basketball on the brain today. Leave it to our hoops handicapper to be having basketball on your
brain. It's a big
today.
Time of the year. So we have obviously the Women's World Cup is going on, and so we're still deciding that. I know Femi thinks that the American women are all just done and toasted and, you know, never going to win anything. But the American men have something coming up here. It is the FIBA World Cup in basketball. So Team USA, who is the odds-on favorite to win this thing, opens up training camp today. That'll be about noon out there at the UNLV campus, so I'll be out
there
for the start.
Is it Mendenhall?
Yep. So I'll be out there for the start of camp. I'll hopefully snag some people to talk to and see what's going on, but this starts training camp. It leads up to a friendly against Puerto Rico at T-Mobile on Monday, and then they will ship off for the Philippines to get ready for World Cup play, which starts August 23rd, I want to say.
So I saw that you guys dropped a new Hardwood Handicappers podcast this morning. Are you talking about World Cup? Are you talking about trades, potential trades this offseason? What are you looking at?
So we do a little bit of the World Cup, just evaluating some surface-level analysis of the rosters as we're kind of getting geared up. We're going to start the coverage, by the way, VSiN.com. I'll look out for some more write-ups when it comes to World Cup coverage starting tomorrow. And on top of that, as we'll actually tie it in a little bit later today, I'm making this my identity now. I'm a modeler, Stormy. That's what I am now. It's who I am. It's all I am. And no, but in all seriousness, it's something we've been experimenting with. So we're going to talk about the NFL side of it, but I started to try to build an NBA one. And so it's like Kelly and I talking through, you know, important statistics, what you want to do when it comes to modeling, the first steps of that, and kind of building this thing up and experimenting with it. Yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun. So we talk about a lot of that, and you can see a little bit of a preview if you'd like on my Z account, at MeJVT.
Which I still don't agree with, that it's called Z, although the letter is X, formerly known as Twitter, and I'm not on board. I'm not on board with any of it. Elon needs to calm down.
Well, I mean, it's his platform, so you know what, whatever you want, Elon.
You spent all the money for it, but it is becoming more and more difficult to decipher good information and like knowing whose accounts are really whose, and I don't like
about
it.
There's not a problem
like
at all.
I don't like it one bit. Neither here nor there.
You're just mad about that fake Stormy Bonatoni account that's out there.
Man, I haven't had one of those since I had a MySpace, fake MySpace account of me in high school, even though who cares? Who wanted to be me in high school? I was not cool.
It's kind of weird, actually.
Very weird. So, but like JVT said, at the end of the show today, the last two blocks of the final half hour, we're going to dive into his week one model in the NFL for each game, kind of how you got to those numbers, what goes into them. I think it's a good learning tool for anybody out there who is just like maybe trying to take NFL betting more seriously this year. So we'll do that. And of course, plenty of college football as well, because like I said off the top of the show, our college football betting guide was released earlier today. If you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you can get all of those great write-ups and information, and that includes your season predictions for every single conference across the board, as well as best bets that you have placed out there.
Yes.
Why is that smirk on your face?
No, I'm just laughing because I had to chastise Adam Burke. I wasn't asked to be in the guide this year. I wasn't asked. Now
everybody was asked.
No, though, right? Actually, I wasn't. I had to ask to get put into it. But
you were
on
a mass email.
No.
But, you missed the mass email.
Thank you. I was a part of this.
Wow.
Don't storm me. I was part of the conversations. Please, all right. I had to fight for my spot, fight for my right to party when it came to college football. Also taken away from me, the thing that I write every year, the Mountain West guide, portion of the guide. But it was because I'm so great. That was what I was told. So you know what? I'm going to roll with that. But yes,
so
I did
no
do preseason
shots fired
prediction.
At Tim Murray, who did do the Mountain West write-up.
None whatsoever. Okay. None whatsoever. Even though, you know, I did see Tim at Mountain West Media Days where I was at. So, you know, I'm just saying. But no shots fired.
Well, why don't we start there then? Mountain West, Boise State is the favorite. They have been a power for a number of years, but haven't seemed to actually win the championship. That was Fresno State's crown a year ago. Your pick was Fresno to repeat in this spot. What do you like about the squad this year?
So there's a lot. And I think first and foremost is, you know, we call that, I think in golf, the term is, what is the term? Look, win equity, right? Where it's just like, hey, you know, in golf, you want a guy who has actually won, who has done it before. You know, my guy Tommy Fleetwood, for example, in golf, I like to bet him, but he never really gets it done, especially on American soil. So when you look at it from that standpoint, Fresno State's got it. Like, they have win equity. They have won this conference twice under Tedford. They are absolutely a dynamic program. And when you look at, like, the history, it's there. I also think that even though this team has lost a lot, wide receiver, quarterback, running back, you're thinking, okay, we only have about five guys back on offense. Why would I go in and kind of buy in on this team once more? Well, first of which is, I think Tedford's a brilliant, like we call him a quarterback whisperer. Mm-hmm. Mikey Keene comes in to transfer in from UCF. I think he's going to hit the ground running. He's going to be really solid to take over for Jake Haener, who is now, of course, with the New Orleans Saints. And when you look at the running back position, while you lose your leading rusher from last year, the guy who returns actually averaged over 5 yards a carry, ran for nearly 500 yards, so you're in a good position there. And the most important part about the offense, that offensive line essentially brings back everybody. Four out of the five guys are back. And I think when you look at just the depth of that position too, it's going to be a strength. So while you're replacing some key positions on offense, you have a head coach who maximizes the quarterback position, so I think you should be pretty solid there. And you have good returning pieces and depth along the most important position, offensive line, that's going to help you out. Defensively, seven guys come back on a championship defense, a team last year that, of course, won the Mountain West. So I really like that. And on top of it, I think the schedule breaks down somewhat nicely for them as you get into conference play. You get Boise State at home. Yes, you have to go to San Diego State and San Jose State, but sorry about this, Stormy. I don't think San Diego State's going to be the threat that they usually are. We've kind of seen a little bit of the decline of the program. Last year, what, 7-6 when it came to football? So I don't think that's going to be that big of a challenge for them. It might be sneaky tough to go to San Jose State, but that's a defense that lost quite a bit of talent as well. It wasn't really particularly great to begin with. I think everything just sets up for Fresno State, and especially at the price. You know, here at Circa, they were 4-1. When I have all of these pieces, I have a program and a head coach who's done it, I think Fresno State was totally worth it.
I agree with your thought process on my Aztecs, but that said, I still do think that they're capable of getting over their season win total this year. I'm just going to throw
that
out.
Yeah, what is it, 7, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so like, I don't think they're dead by any stretch.
I wouldn't imagine them to be a contender in the league this year,
and
to win a championship.
And I think a lot of people, and I don't want to say like the Fresno State will go to San Diego State and romp over them. It usually in years past, you would agree, if you see at San Diego State on a schedule, you're like, oh boy.
Right.
Now that's a winnable game at the very least.
Any impact for you, the thought process that they are getting rid of divisions this year, so it's going to be those top two teams in terms of win percentage going head-to-head in the conference championship game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does hurt a little bit when you're trying to look at, I think, at like some dark horses for the most part. And you even look at a team like, for example, Boise State. I think that this is going to be something where Boise State football-wise, I think there's a couple of signs that Boise State might show some regression. Talen Green, for example, you know, he had a turnover-worthy play rate of over 4.5%. So essentially was committing a turnover-worthy play on 4.6, 4.7% of his pass attempts. However, he didn't commit that many actual turnovers. So if he continues that level of play, you could see a steep regression for the reigning Mountain West Offensive Freshman of the Year. And then you look at their schedule as well. You do draw pretty much all of the big boys on the schedule, right? You have to go to San Diego State. You do play San Jose State. You do have to go to Fresno. You do have to play Air Force. That's a pretty challenging schedule. And yes, Boise State has a lot coming back, but I think that there are certainly some spots on this schedule where you could take some knocks in conference play. And that doesn't even include, Stormy, some legitimate, like, good middle-of-the-pack teams like going to Colorado State, right? That's a pretty tough spot. So I think overall, when you look at it just from the standpoint, like you said, like you don't get the benefit of just winning your division and getting in. Now you got to have one of the two best records. And I think a team like Boise State could suffer from that because I think they have one of the tougher schedules in conference play.
Two other things that did stand out going through some of your season predictions. You had South Alabama as your champion in the Sun Belt, but one of your best bets was Coastal Carolina at plus 450. I think available 5-1 some places as well to win the league. And also, well, yes, you have Clemson winning their 8th ACC title in 9 years. You also have them winning a national championship, right, which I think is a hot take right now.
Yeah, so I think starting with Coastal, first off, I just think they are in a very good position to win this division. I don't think there's really any question about it. So when you talk about the competition within that division for them, Marshall's going to be, I think, their biggest competitor there. They could lose it, but I have Coastal winning that division. Thus, they're going to win the division, get into the title game. You could sit at plus 425 and work your way through it. I also think with Grayson McCall and the pieces back on offense, they're perfectly capable of winning this. But South Alabama's got a ton back. It's hard not to pick them to win the overall Sun Belt. As far as Clemson is concerned, look, you and I have I think we talked about this last time we were together. When you have Cade Klubnik, you have an overhauled offensive staff, you have a lot of returning pieces on both sides, and you get the benefit of that September 23rd game against Florida State being at home. Mm-hmm. I think we're just kind of sleeping on the fact that Clemson, you know, is still a pretty darn good team. And one of my biggest concerns with Clemson was the play calling on offense, and I think it was why DJU struggled the way that he did. But if you're going to change that, and we're right in saying that Cade Klubnik is like a very, very good quarterback prospect, well, all of a sudden, I think things really look up for Clemson. Yes, you get Florida State. Yes, you have to go to Miami, and you get to host Notre Dame. But two of the important games you get on your turf, and the other one being North Carolina, I think it's a schedule that sets up well for them. And given all of the changes, I think it's worth looking at it, especially as we were talking, 18-20-1 to win the national championship.
Right. And Clemson, by the way, has one of the best home field advantages in all of college football. They had a 40-game home win streak going until they lost in the late season game against South Carolina, and it was still only by 1 point. So they are known for dominance in Death Valley. Home field advantage, something that we'll cover at length, by the way, when we start hour two. But we're going to take a quick break, back with more Lombardi Line in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber. We love alliteration here at this network, by the way. Get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 College Football Betting Guide. That bad boy is out now. Both the College Football Guide and our NFL Betting Guide have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way, though, to get the guides and everything we have to offer is by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Today's the day, people. Get in there. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Jonathan Von Model, as he would like to be referred to
right
now. With all
it's
of
my
the,
identity now.
Not only just modeling for, sure, magazines and massive publications, but also, you know, football, basketball models as well. Makes sense.
Right.
It's a little things. We also welcome into the show great friend of the program, Will Hill, betting analyst, VSiN contributor at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. And Will, we have football on our television screens today. It's a good day.
I can confirm we do have football tonight. I will say that the show has been interesting so far. We're a half hour in, but the conversation between the breaks, which I was privy to, I don't know if you guys knew I was privy to, is sometimes a little more interesting. I wish that stuff was aired, and it would, I think it would help the ratings. And I do have some questions before we get to the football. I, Like, I want a 30 for 30. You said you weren't cool in high school. I want to know why. I have a lot of questions. So, I mean, I don't have that many bets today. If you just want to give me a few minutes on why you were not cool in high school, I'm very fascinated by this.
Lots of reasons. And I feel I feel so awkward saying I'm somebody that took a little while to grow into being, like, I guess, feminine. So I was definitely a tomboy. I had a lot of pretty friends, but I was kind of like the ugly girl with the pretty friends. You ever see, you know what I'm talking about? There's one of those. It took a while.
I'm not
going to
step in anything right now. So you just keep going. Yeah, I'm not going to step in
anything. I think I've improved with age, I guess. Like a.
All I know, Will, all I know is that I had hair down to my shoulders, a chain wallet, and a studded belt. I was the coolest guy around.
I was wearing, like, my brother's Mark McGuire hand-me-down t-shirts to school in high school. So, like, things were not.
A's or Cardinals?
Huh? Cardinals.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Unforge. Sorry. How so cool Jets are you Browns in high school? Tonight, let's keep this rolling.
Jets Browns tonight. I like the Jets as we make a smooth transition here.
Good stuff.
I just think the Jets have a better quarterback rotation. You've mentioned Salah has shown an interest in winning these games. And I just think, look, Zach Wilson, I mean, he's not good for, like, real life for the actual season, but he's still the number two pick overall. And if you're going to put him against second, third, fourth stringers, I think he'll do all right. Strievler has done okay in the preseason. So I just think the quarterback rotation favors the Jets. And I will say this, if you like the Jets, take the money line. There's some minus 125s out there. So these 1.5s, 2.5 in the regular season, it's different. Not a lot of games land on 1 or 2, but I say this for bowl games. I say this for NFL preseason. Teams do not want to play overtime. So if let's just have a scenario where the Jets are up 7 late and Cleveland scores a touchdown to make, 17-10 to 17-16. Cleveland's going to go for 2, and they're either going to win by 1, lose by 1. If they get the 2 and it's early enough, maybe the Jets kick a field goal on the other end. So lots of games land on 1 or 2. So take the 1.5, 2.5 if you like the dog. Just take the money line if you like the favorite. Those are really key numbers, the 1s and the 2s, in terms of the preseason. And I don't even hate, honestly, if you find a cheap Jets money line, if you just want some action on the game, you can find a cheap minus 125 on the Jets money line. There are some 2.5s on Cleveland. I don't mind hating both sides. It's basically a free roll. You're just paying a little bit of juice where you sit there and you root for the Jets and you have the Browns +2.5. Probably not going to land on the middle, but in a low scoring game where points are extra valuable, I don't hate that as a strategy, just in general.
Speaking of the word general, give us some general thoughts on what you do with preseason, what you're looking for, how do you evaluate teams? How often do you bet preseason games?
Yeah, I mean, I try to get ahead of the information. I have enough people, I guess, sort of in my network where, hey, this team, bet this team, they're going to play their guys. And I just get a text and try to get it before the line moves. It's really information based. There's a practical aspect of it, of like, hey, I'm not against preseason. If you can bet anything and make money, I'm for it. But there is a human aspect of, you bet an NFL preseason game, you lose, and you say, what the hell did I just waste my money on? This was really stupid. So I tread lightly. If I think a number's going to move, I'll play it and maybe play back. I do think an interesting angle, once you get to week 2, so not this week, not next week, but the week where both teams have played a game already, the 0-1 team's usually a little hungrier than the 1-0 team. I know the games don't count, but nobody wants to lose all their games. So that is an interesting thing to keep an eye on. It's baked into the number. I don't know if it's fully baked into the number, but just a trend to keep an eye on.
I wrote something down. Get a network.
There you go.
I need a network like Will.
I'll text you. I'll put you on the text.
Yeah, Will Hill's put me in his little CFL.
Yeah.
CFL plays chat. So I'm in that network a little bit here.
Yeah.
But I agree that there are information-based advantages to betting the preseason, for sure, if you're in the know or if you're able to pay attention and listen in on all these press conferences, because more often than not, coaches are pretty open with giving kind of what the plan is going to be and how that they're going to approach a certain game. So good stuff there. Again, the number that we see in front of us at DraftKings, Jets a 2-point favorite, total 33.5 in that Hall of Fame game today, kicking off at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on NBC.
One more thing. Sorry, I forgot to mention. I don't know how many books are doing this. I mentioned yesterday on Gil's show. If you can tease preseason, I don't hate teasing the Browns up to 8. I mean, in a game that's going to be low scoring, close, 17-16 type of game, if you can tease the Browns up to 8, now you got to find a dance partner. Some of the DraftKings has put out preseason games for next week. I don't know which books are letting you tease and not, but I don't hate teasing preseason games just because it's low variance.
Are they charging more for them? Are they the same price?
I haven't checked. A couple I've tried on so far haven't let you tease it. Remember last year, the books, I think it was more common to tease last year in preseason, the books got killed because if you remember, the totals were super low. Mm-hmm. The trend that, hey, unders are good plays in the preseason drove the totals down to 30, 31. And people were doing these three-team 10-point teasers in every single combination. There was one week every single combination got home with the over because, look, at 2021, it's almost impossible to stay under. So I don't know that they're letting you do that as much anymore.
You are getting me excited for Teaser Tuesdays to come back this NFL season. It's the little things that get us going here at VSiN.
Can't wait for the Wong teasers to kick us in the face all the first 6 weeks again.
Let's turn the page, though, to Major League Baseball. In your mind, were the Astros the trade deadline winner, or who was it, if not them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. With these extra teams in the mix, there's just not the impactful moves. A lot of these teams stand pat. A lot of these teams just, you know, aren't out of it. So there aren't as many sellers, which means you don't get these splash deals. I think anytime you can add Verlander back, makes sense. So Houston's going to be in the mix here. It's a wide open American League between Texas, the Astros. Baltimore's young and good. So it's going to be a great playoffs. It's going to be a great postseason race, August, September. I know once football starts, football's king and baseball gets brushed to the side, but there's a lot of races, NL Central, wild cards, the West here in the AL. There's just so many good races. It's going to be a fun last couple of months in Major League Baseball, but you know, can't argue with adding Verlander. I actually applaud the Mets. Everyone likes to joke about the Mets, and when you spend that much money and you have to burn it, it looks bad, but I give them credit. They saw that this was a dead-end path with Scherzer, with Verlander. They said, you know what? We're not good enough. Atlanta's in our division. And they pivoted. You know, a couple off seasons ago, the only way for them to actually compete was to sign guys like Scherzer, Verlander, and hope for the best, hope they had something left. They did it. They went for it. It didn't work. They pivoted. Now they're going to get younger. They're going to rebuild, which is not popular. It's not fun to stomach. So I actually give the Mets credit. I know people are going to make fun of them, but I think they at least have a plan.
Speaking of the Rangers, they are pounding on the Chicago White Sox today, yes?
I would think so. White Sox are just a completely dead team. I hate laying a run and a half in baseball. I rarely do it. I really rarely do it, especially at home when you're not guaranteed the ninth at bat if you're winning. But to me, they score plenty of runs. I mean, you look at all their offensive stats, they're through the roof. Scherzer making his debut for the Rangers. And man, Scherzer has just pitched on basically half the teams in the league over the last few years. He has bounced around, but he can still do it occasionally. He's one good game, one bad game. He's inconsistent, but he can still do it. I think he's got something left. He's obviously not peak Scherzer of 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. But I'm okay laying the run and a half. I just think the White Sox are a dead team. So Texas -1.5 for me is a play.
Similar situation for the Astros today, taking on your Yankees.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations to the Yankees on winning a Major League Baseball game yesterday. But the Astros own the Yankees. They beat them like a drum, especially they love to come to New York. And New York fans egg on the Astros. They mock them. They chant, you know, cheaters, frauds, all this stuff. And it fires the Astros up. So to me, these two teams are on completely different levels. I don't understand this line. The Astros are a much better team, much better lineup, especially with Altuve back, Alvarez back. Astros are hitting their stride here. So give me the Astros. This Yankee team is not good.
Hey, Yankees got former Angels reliever Keenan Middleton. So that's going to make a big difference, right? Yes, come on.
Yes, and the number didn't move that much. I was surprised. I thought that thing would plummet.
That's right.
Pick'em game on the money line, +145 on the Astros run line. Will, feel free if you want, by the way, just to, now that I've fully embarrassed myself on air, you can stick around during the commercial break for more of the VSiN Plus subscription if you would like.
That is VSiN Plus Plus. There might be a third plus in there. That was some good stuff.
I feel like Will had really long hair in high school.
No.
Let's get the high school photos out.
Were
Come
your
on.
Forearms
That's what
the
we
same
need.
Size? Did you still have big rippling forearms back in the day, too?
They were
Let's
not,
Let's not talk about forearms in high school, shall we?
Why?
Okay, that's on that note. Play the music. It's time to go to commercial. Great stuff as always, Will. You're the man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Will Hill at NotTheWillHill on Twitter. Great VSiN contributor at VSiN.com. We're going to step aside when we return, turning the attention back to the NFL and some of the most bet overs and unders on season win totals already here this preseason.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. If all legs of the parlay hit but one, you get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to please play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only to wager new and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in select states. Wrapping up hour one of the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back live from Las Vegas, our VSiN studio at Circa Resort and Casino. Time to talk some NFL win totals, looking at some of the most bet overs and unders based on some of the BetMGM insights that we were given. And one I thought was interesting as we look to some of these overs, JVT, was the Patriots, who I am a team that I am a person who is a believer in this team getting over their season win total. I was very surprised, though, to see that the masses are as well, not only in terms of the people coming up and just writing tickets at the counter, but the money that has been bet on New England in the spot as well to go over 7.5 wins, because I feel like outwardly people are vocally very doubtful of what this team is going to be in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. We're in the same camp here. I am very much all in on the New England Patriots, at the very least being a very competitive team this season. Now, going over the win total and making the playoffs, I think, are two different discussions. I do think that they are a candidate to make the playoffs. I think there's some value in that number. So I'm with you. Like, I'm surprised that there is, at the very least, enough support here to push them to the top of, you know, bet splits like this when it comes to win totals and having the most money behind it and the most tickets behind it.
Because I thought I was unique, especially like given the schedule, and yeah, it really is tough whether you're looking at opponent win percentage from 2022 or season win totals of your opponents this year. It was like they're 1-2 most difficult schedule in all of the NFL, but there are a lot of reasons to buy in and believe this team will be better. They have made upgrades defensively. On offense, you actually have an offensive coordinator, which is certainly going to benefit your quarterback in Mac Jones. Got some pieces around him. Like, there were a lot of things that I liked about this team this year.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, look at the defense, right? Last year, when it came to defensive play, EPA per play standards, second best defense in the National Football League last season. So, I completely agree. I think there's all sorts of buy signs on the New England Patriots that, for the most part, in a lot of conversations that I've had with a lot of people, kind of like you're echoing here, I don't think we're really reflected in a lot of those. So it is surprising to see this, and I obviously think it's on the right track. Now, I will say, you know, we don't know, of course, like, if you're going to have the most tickets, then the most money being there isn't entirely surprising, or at least being in the top three. I know a lot of people like to read into, like, bet splits in terms of, hey, more handle means write sharper opinion, because generally sharps have a higher bankroll and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it does mean something good, but I think at the end of the day, these are smart people, because they agree with me and agree with you by extension.
How about the Broncos? Season one win total sitting at 8.5. This is a team I feel like everyone had the over on last year, and then they ended up being terrible, to use head coach Sean Payton's word, maybe the worst in NFL history. The biggest change this offseason, of course, being that new coaching staff. Defense was strong at least last year, have that backbone to rely on. But we all know the offensive woes this team really struggled through on a weekly basis last year, and the personnel's largely the same. And now they've got some injuries creeping up on that wide receiver room with a torn Achilles and KJ Hamler's heart issue. He's unavailable. Yep. So more things that Russell Wilson's going to have to fight through here. But one of the highest bet win totals this year is on Denver.
And actually, just a couple minutes ago, it was reported they lost a linebacker to a torn ACL as well. So yeah, it's happening. I think this team has some buy signs on it as well. I think that if we're talking about them potentially making the playoffs, there's something here. If you believe that Sean Payton's a pretty good coach and can raise the floor of the play of Russell Wilson and make him do the easy things again, right? One of the things is, if you look at Russell Wilson's numbers from last year, the balls downfield he actually graded pretty well on. It was the other stuff in between that he kind of struggled with. And so if he's going to be able to coach him up a little bit more and allow him to, hey, man, take the easy stuff, like, let's get this thing kind of smooth, get it running. We don't have to take those shots every single time. And you provide a base level of play for your defense to then get some support with. I think there's something here for the Denver Broncos. At the very least, you know, I'm not betting them to win a division, but I think at the very least, in an AFC, Stormy, that I keep saying, you know, you take teams, what would you say, 6 through, what, 10, 11, 12, throw them in a hat, pull them out. Like, they're all pretty rated, like, pretty similarly. I think they definitely have room to be a playoff team if the improvements happen that we expect to happen.
So 5-12 a year ago, how many wins would you say then that Sean Payton upgrade specifically is worth?
I mean, I would think at the very least it's worth. I mean, look, so if I'm betting them, because I bet them to make the playoffs, I got them at plus 185. So if I think they're going to be a playoff team, I think that gets them to about that 9-win mark. So maybe an upgrade worth of about 4 wins. We'll see. That might be a little strong. I also think there's some aspect of intense underperformance from last year, right? That is Sean Payton really making up all of it, or is there some regression to the mean when it comes to the bad play, and then Sean Payton adds some improvement? You know what I'm saying?
And you have to imagine that they'll get over the hump and win some division games. Only one division win a season ago, that final game of the regular season against the Chargers, and it was still a close one. The Commanders, another highly bet win total over that 6.5. Going to be a good defensive team under Ron Rivera, but a lot of questions offensively, especially with young quarterback Sam Howell. Big offseason acquisition in Eric Bieniemy, though, potentially, yeah, coming over from Kansas City. How much of this bet, though, do you think is based on just the newfound rejuvenation around Washington? They're going to have fans in the stands this year with Dan Snyder out. There's all this positivity versus like actual confidence in the team being good.
I would hope that the market's not moving based on that stuff, right?
You know.
Yeah, or people that are running in. But no, to your point, I mean, look, what was it? Was it the Super Bowl or was it the AFC Championship game where the fake post got up there on Z, formerly Twitter? It was the most bet outcome, exact outcome at BetMGM that day because people are stupid. So maybe that is the case. Not to say that if you ran to bet this because of the good juju around the team, you're stupid, but we've seen people bet for lesser things, we'll say. But having said that, I just think in today's day and age, I don't think you can go into an NFL season with the questions you have at quarterback and expect to be a team that's going to be extremely competitive to the point where you're going to win 7, 8, or 9 games. I just don't see how that's going to be the case. And especially when you look at this schedule and realize some of the teams that you are facing and the level of quarterback play that you're going to have to essentially keep up with throughout this entire season. I just think that this, and here's the other thing. If you're a team like Washington, Stormy, that's floating around like 3 wins by the time you're getting to the second half of the season, you're starting to get pretty tempted about what could be there for you at the top of the NFL draft. And who knows what that means going forward as the year goes along. But I just think you can't really have a successful year if you go in with questions like you do at quarterback.
8-8-1 a season ago. Like I said, this win total sitting 6.5. 8th toughest schedule across the league, playing in a competitive division. 10 teams with winning records, including 6 that won 12 or more games on that schedule for the Commanders this year. And then also the Steelers over 8.5, very highly played. You imagine people just not going against a 16-year sample
size
of Mike Tomlin.
Did you know he's never had a losing record?
Rumor has it. Wow. Rumor has it. As Adele used to say, how about the unders? Consistency across the board in terms of tickets and handle here. Cardinals, Raiders, and Bucks, all the highest bet unders.
I will say, I do wonder how, because again, when it comes to betting splits and whatnot, you don't know when these bets came in. I do wonder how much of the Raiders liability built up here had to do with, you know, before the physical got passed by Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, since he's passed the physical, he's had a rest day and then a day in which he threw 6 picks in camp. So, still not the best in terms of the situation the Raiders are in, but I do wonder how much of this was post-introductory press conference, foot surgery, all that sort of stuff, and it came in. But I would agree with it generally. Like, I think the Raiders are one of those teams that I've said are living on the edge here, and if you're going to get poor quarterback play, and that quarterback depth chart's extremely, extremely limited, and all of a sudden either Jimmy G can't play or he is so bad that you're trying to look for answers there, this team, I think it could get really bad really quickly for the Raiders.
And that win total has been bet down. Granted, it's at like different places, different numbers, different places, but you see the 7.5 on your screen right there. I see 6.5 at DraftKings. So shop around, I guess, to find what number is available for you. But it doesn't look positive for the Raiders, unfortunately. The Cardinals, I tried to sell. We were doing a Why Not Wednesday yesterday, looking at some plus money bets and seeing if, you know, you could talk yourself into it. Say why not. Cardinals over 5.5 wins, and Michael was like, absolutely not. Like, because we're truly try to find 5 wins on that schedule. It's hard.
Well, I mean, it's hard now, but I always say this. Like, we've talked about this before, right? Like, bad teams generally are not as bad as you expect them to be. Good teams are not as good as you expect them to be. Again, generally. I think in a sport where parity is all over the place, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals find their way to about 4 wins or so. Now,
so
5.5 is tough.
So, yes.
But 4.5.
But that's the reason, while it is, as you see on your screen there, the most bet under in terms of people going up to the window to place this bet under that 4.5 win total, the reason that I have no interest in it and did stay off it is because it's the NFL. Like, you could almost accidentally win 5 games.
Well, and here's the other thing. Whether you think, whatever you think about Kyler Murray, whatever, there's a chance, there's a point he comes back And a Arizona Cardinals team with a full season of Kyler Murray is not a 4.5 win team. They're a little bit better than that. And thus, if you get that upgrade at some point, you're going to be in a better position.
Okay, back to college football, as it is college football week here at VSiN with our new college football betting guide released today. We're going to break down home field advantage. How much is it worth? And I'll give you a clue. Home field advantage is not created equal across the sport.